WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Happy Friday to you. You made it to the end of the week. Hope your morning is starting off well. It's a little nippy out there, but that's all right. We're going to warm up the next couple of days. You heard Phil mention. So you'll have a little respite from some of this colder weather, but I'm going to keep asking the question. Did you turn the heat on last night? Did you finally break down and turn it on? I came home last night from Worcester at about 10:30, and I said, it's pretty chilly in here. I should probably turn the heat on. I said, you know what? I'm not even going to stay up that much more. I'm just going to go to bed. And I pulled out the electric blanket, put that on the bed. What a dream it is sleeping with that thing. So you know what? I think I'm going to treat myself. I think I'm going to go to probably Walmart and get a bigger kind of full. I have a full-size bed. I don't have anything bigger than that. I don't need anything bigger than that. Just me. Don't even have the dog anymore to try to keep out of the bed. So I have a small electric blanket that I bought last year after my surgery because I couldn't stay warm enough. I was always cold when I came home from the hospital. So I bought that to kind of warm me up and it was great. But it's, you know, just for one person to use kind of sitting on the couch. I think I'm going to treat myself and get like the full size comforter style electric blanket. Although the one that I had last night was fine, but I don't know. I deserve it. Plus, we're only like $20, maybe 30. Anyway, so I hope that you are nice and warm, whether you turn the heat on or not. So today we've got a lot of things that we can discuss. There's new details in the what's being called the Baby Doe case, the deceased infant's remains found at Fort Tabor last year. We were just talking about this the other day, but we've got more information about that, courtesy of Frank Mulligan over at the Standard Times, southcoasttoday.com. So we'll get into some of that. We will also have some more to discuss about question five. We haven't really gotten into it too much, but all right, well, let me just start off with this. I think they need to fix the way that tipped workers make and report their income. However, I don't think that this is the mechanism to do that. I think I'm against it for the I'm not against it because I'm worried about how much tipped workers are going to make. They're going to be fine. If they make $15 an hour, people are still going to tip them. They're still going to go home with more money than the cooks. They're still going to go home with more money than the busboys. They're going to be fine. Don't listen to that argument of, you know, this is going to really hurt the individual tipped workers. They'll be fine. They're going to still make way more than $15 an hour. But what will happen is, in order to hit that $15 an hour mark, the restaurants will have to raise prices. And they're going to have to pass that on to you, the customer. So there's no easy solution for it, but this isn't it. So I don't think that we should be voting yes on question five. However, it's important to hear what the yes side has to say about it because they're making these points. Now, it's One Fair Wage Massachusetts that's pushing for this. And they're really looking at it in a black and white situation. They're really looking at it in from a position of they're making $6.75 and they should be making $15. And that's not exactly accurate. They're getting paid in their paycheck $6.75 an hour, but they're making more than that. And if they're not making that, the employer is already required to make it 50. So I actually had days when I was a server, my brief experiences with it, where I wouldn't make minimum wage for the day because it was slow. So I would have to take money in my paycheck to make up for that. And actually, the boss just gave it to me in cash. It was like $8, but still. But the downside of that is that if it's, you know, we're not talking about a couple of dollars here and there. We're talking about a $10 difference, a $9 difference for every hour that somebody works. And now the employer only has to do it if the server doesn't average $15 an hour. But nine times out of 10, I'm sure that they do. But having to do it and then have the server make extra tips on top of that, I don't think that's a good idea. But the bigger problem here is you find me a server, a bartender, go find me one that claims 100% of their tips. You're not going to find one. And if they tell you they are, they're probably lying to you. There may be a few that are so afraid of being audited or like super Boy Scout, Girl Scout type personalities, but few and far between. There's a lot of money in our economy, in the service industry, that is not being taxed. Now, do I care about the fact that they're not paying taxes? No, not really. What I do care about is the fact that I've got to pay taxes on every dime that I make. And then if I go out and do something extra, I've got to file 1099s and I've got to do all that. And tipped workers just put cash in their pocket and pretend they never made it. That's my issue. And that's why when I hear Donald Trump say no tax on tips and people writing, you know, vote Trump, no tax on tips on their receipts, I think it's the stupidest thing that I've ever heard of. Basically, what you're saying is you're going to go let people earn a living in this one particular industry and only have to pay taxes on probably 20 to 30% of what they actually make. So they're only going to pay tax on whatever the portion is of their paycheck that's paid by the employer. The rest of it is tax-free. Well, why don't I? So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask Town Square Media to lessen my salary to $6.75 an hour for the time that I spend here. And then everything else that I make over that, just call it a tip. And then that way there, I don't have to pay taxes on all of it, right? I can still get all of the services that come with having paid your taxes, but I only have to pay taxes on a very small portion of my income. So I, you know, we're going to get phone calls every day from now until the election and probably well after, people complaining about how migrants are coming into this country and they're taking our tax dollars and they're going to waste. And, oh, we're basically just supporting people. You know what? How about the people that are making all kinds of money and not paying their fair share on it? And you know what? We can say the same thing to Kamala Harris. You're so concerned about getting the billionaires to pay their fair share. But what about the much larger portion of society that's not paying theirs? So while it sounds like I'm a yes on question five, I am not. I'm a no because, as I said, it's not the solution. It's not the way to fix these issues. And also, when you've got an issue that affects a group of people, and that group of people is, how can I put this? Well, a majority of them are against the solution that's being proposed. I'm going to listen to that and say, well, then this isn't a good idea. If they wanted to, talk about a way to make it easier to pay tipped workers a higher wage without having it crush the restaurant industry, I'd be listening to that conversation, and I'm sure many of them would too. But if they're all pretty much universally against this plan, you've got to listen to that. But anyway, that's just a little bit of my rant on that. We can get more into that if you'd like, 508-996-0500. Thanks to everybody that came out to Worcester last night for my little ghost story presentation before they showed the Haunted Mansion on the big screen. It was not that cold. It was a nice time. They give out free popcorn and they had pizza and all kinds of stuff going on. So, it's a nice little night. And it got dark just in time for people to be able to see the images I was having put up on the screen. So it worked out well. And Worcester's a nice city. I know people complain about, oh, it's the most unsafe city. Why would you be at Worcester at night? It was fine. I went and did the presentation in the park, and then I went across the street and had some dinner and then went home. It was fine. I've gone to Worcester for things before. I was talking to the folks from the Hanover Theater about their ghosts. I'll probably go back over there at some point and check that out. So, if you came out, thank you. I didn't get to walk through the crowd so much and see who was there, but I will be at the Millicent Library on Wednesday night, 6:30, talking about Ghosts of the South Coast if you want to come and see that. And then a week from tomorrow, I'll be in Freetown at the Freetown Police Community Room talking about haunted objects. So a couple of chances to listen to me talk as if you don't have to listen to that enough during the week here on WBSM. Today is also the final day of our contest for tickets to see Lawrence the Band. So if you want to enter to win those, you still have time. We will draw a winner after the program is over. And you can just go to WBSM.com and the WBSM app to enter to win. And that's at MGM Music Hall at Fenway. A great venue. If you've never been there, I would say, next time somebody that you really want to see is coming to the area and there's a show there, make that the show that you attend, especially now that baseball season is over. It's going to be a lot easier. But the venue itself is all brand new. The sound system and everything there, state of the art. And they've got some really great shows. And one of those is Lawrence the Band. So we will have those tickets to give away later on today. So there's also a guest that we will have on next week for an event that's happening in Rhode Island next week. Brett, very excited. Very important time of year to have this guest on. And I kind of teased a little bit on social media yesterday, but I don't want to give too much away yet, just in case it doesn't happen. We have a pre-record scheduled for after the show. And I don't want to curse it in case things don't work out, but I hope that when you listen to this interview, if we get to play it for you next week, that you might be doing the time warp while you hear it. So, all right, I got to take my first break here. 508-996-0500. We have app chat and open line voicemails open on the WBSM app if you want to reach out through either one of those means. But, of course, the best way is to just call in. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in just a few moments. Well, Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Map chat. Open line voicemails on the WBSM app. That is 10,000 maniacs. Although then Natalie Marchand left, so it was 9,999 maniacs. Actually, I can't remember which late night host's joke that was first. Probably Jay Leno. But we have now, of course, 10,000 maniacs back out on the road. They've had different singers since then. Natalie Merchant was out on the road last year, had a great new album that came out. So everybody's happy. The maniacs are under control. All right. Well, as I said, we will be going into the news in just a few moments. But before we do that, I want to tell you about one of my favorite places in New Bedford, The Butcher Shop. Now, they are closed this week. They're taking a vacation. But they'll be open again next week for you to come down and get all of your fall favorites, right? You know what's a great fall meal? One of my favorite things is to make a nice roast pork loin with like an apple cider glaze and some rosemary sage stuffing, which, by the way, I don't really get fancy with. I just get some stovetop and add a little extra rosemary and a little extra sage. Super easy. Doesn't take a lot of time. And the pork loin, I'll cook right in the air fryer. The glaze itself, super easy too. Just put a little apple cider in a pan. Mix up a little. Well, it's got so much sugar in it already, you don't even need to make a simple. Just make a little cornstarch and water thickener. Don't use roux for that. You don't want it to be like a gravy. You want it to be like a glaze. And then you can have a really nice meal in about 10 minutes. But if you get your meat at the butcher shop, you're going to have high quality meat. And you know what would be great for that? Those celebrity pork chops. And another good idea when you're making that, roast up some apple slices. Take some apples, you know, slice them into somewhat thin slices. Season them with a little allspice, nutmeg, cinnamon. Roast them off in the oven. You can chop some of that up and add it into your stuffing. You can serve your pork on a bed of them. Adds great fall flavors. You can get it all at the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. And I'm sure when you talk to Joe, Eric, Maria, everybody over there, they're going to have even more ideas than just that one. So next week when they reopen, head on in and start thinking to yourself, what's a good fall meal? And you will fall in love with The Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. All right, time now to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
The leader of Hamas is dead, but the war not over. Instagram's new feature to protect teens from scams, and why one band doesn't want you in the front row.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Israeli forces have killed the leader of Hamas. Officials say Yahya Sinwar died during heavy fighting Wednesday in Gaza. David Mentzer, a spokesperson for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, cautioned that Sinwar's death does not mean the end of the war.
The mission is not over yet. It is certainly, as the Prime Minister said, the first day of the day after Hamas, we think. But our mission will not end until we bring all of our 101 hostages home.
Sinwar was believed to have been the mastermind behind last year's October 7th attack by the Palestinian militant group on Israel. President Biden congratulated Prime Minister Netanyahu on the development Thursday, calling it a good day for Israel, for the United States, and for the world. He also stressed that now is the time to move toward a ceasefire in Gaza. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says high tariffs like those proposed by presidential candidate Donald Trump would boost inflation in the U.S. Yellen delivered remarks to the Council on Foreign Relations on Thursday, didn't mention Trump by name, but argued the broad tariffs supported by the former president would raise prices for American families and, quote, make our businesses less competitive. Fans are still shaken by the death of pop star Liam Payne. Michael Kastner reports.
Driving too fast, moon is breaking through ahead.
The 31-year-old former One Direction member who got his start in the UK on The X Factor died after a fall from a hotel balcony in Argentina on Wednesday. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer on Thursday expressed his sincere condolences to Payne's family and friends. The Prime Minister noted that One Direction was one of the biggest bands in history, adding that their music has had a huge impact on many millions of fans around the world. I'm Michael Kastner.
A Texas man's scheduled execution is on hold after his lawyer spent hours going back and forth with the state. Death row inmate Robert Roberson was set to be executed by lethal injection on Thursday night for the death of his young daughter in 2002. Lawmakers argued junk science led to the conviction and called for Roberson's execution to be halted. Instagram is rolling out new features aimed at protecting teens from sextortion scams. That's when scammers threaten that they'll share intimate photos of the user unless they get some form of payment. Parent company Meta says one of the features expected soon is prohibiting the ability to screenshot or record temporary images, as well as photos sent used via direct messaging. Tobacco use among American teens is at a new low. Mark Mayfield with the details.
On Thursday, the CDC and FDA announced that teen tobacco use is now the lowest it's been in the last 25 years. The number of teens who use any kind of tobacco has dropped from 2.8 million in 2023 to 2.2 million. Vaping specifically saw a big drop over the last year, from 2.1 million to 1.6 million. The CDC says teen cigarette smoking is very low now, at just 1.4% among teens in 2024. I'm Mark Mayfield.
And the Pretenders have a warning for fans who stand in the front row for multiple nights. In a statement on social media, lead vocalist Chrissy Hynde said, "It's been a pleasure playing in front of fantastic audiences, but the whole point of the band touring is to play for a different audience every night." She went on to say they might ask familiar faces to move out of the front row to give local fans a chance to see them up close. Hynde did say they appreciate the fans to buy tickets to multiple nights, but they look forward to seeing those new faces. The Pretenders' next tour stop is tomorrow in the UK.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Bruins head to Salt Lake City for a game with the Utah Hockey Club tomorrow night. The New England Patriots and the Jacksonville Jaguars in London on Sunday morning. And the Boston Celtics open their season hosting the New York Knicks at TD Garden on Tuesday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A mostly sunny and breezy day in store for your Friday, a high of 61 degrees. Warm-up continues over the weekend, sunny at a high of 68 on Saturday, more sun on Sunday with a high getting close to 72, and sunny again on Monday, a high of 74 expected to start your week. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500, little quarter flash in the morning. And that song, I think, is way more intricate than people give it credit for. They dismiss it as just an 80s pop hit, but that's a That's a very insightful song. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And one of the stories that I mentioned earlier that we would talk about is the new details that have come out in this Baby Doe case. And Frank Mulligan in the Standard Times has information from when the 22-year-old mother of that child pleaded guilty to misdemeanor charges in New Bedford District Court this week. So Daniela Escobar Mija was sentenced to 2 years of probation. She must also comply with the State Department of Children and Family Services orders, which include taking parental classes and receiving counseling. She was charged with improper disposition of a human body, which carries a maximum penalty of 6 months in jail and or a $500 fine. So really what happened was she was found, well, pleaded guilty to just not disposing of a body in the proper amount of time. If you remember, the baby was found wrapped up in the bushes at Fort Tabor Park last December by a woman and her niece who were out walking around, and they happened to see it and discovered a baby's remains in there. And the baby was so badly decomposed, they couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl. They couldn't tell if it was how it had died. So it took the medical examiner a long time using DNA analysis to figure things out. And that's how they were able to connect it to the mother, who lives in New Bedford with her 2-year-old daughter. They actually discovered her within 2 days of creating a DNA profile of the baby and the mother. And then when the police visited her, she admitted to being the child's mother. Now, she didn't know she was pregnant until she gave birth. She didn't know she was pregnant, and then all of a sudden one day just went into labor. I know it sounds unbelievable, but it happens. And according to Escobar Mija, she said that the baby got stuck in the birth canal. And when she was able to get the baby out, he was blue and not breathing. So she believed that he had died. So then she brought the remains in a backpack to Fort Tabor, walking there from her apartment a mile and a half away, and then put the baby in the backpack on a path near some bushes, hoping someone would find them. And she never told anyone about the pregnancy, including family members and the baby's father. So nobody knew that this had happened. There was nobody that was wondering where this baby went, because nobody but her knew that there was a baby. So that's a lot of things to have happen in the course of these events. To have a baby without knowing that you're pregnant. To have that baby then be stillborn. And then rather than call the authorities, rather than try to bring it to the hospital, or even leaving it at a church or something, she brings the baby to Fort Tabor and leaves it in the bushes. Doesn't think either to maybe make a phone call to police and say, hey, I want to be anonymous, but I just found a baby at Fort Tabor. Instead, it was out there for over a month, just decomposing. And it wasn't really a cold month either. So while it sounds like there are some things that still don't add up with this story, she pleaded guilty. And she has now 2 years of probation. But you have to understand that, the prosecutors couldn't really prove anything other than the facts. And it sounds like they didn't try. So I think that they were satisfied with her explanation of what happened. In fact, the 2 years of probation was what the prosecutors were asking for. They weren't looking to send her to jail. They weren't looking to fine her. So I think that they kind of, at least I can assume from that, that they were agreeing with the facts as she was presenting them. It was just a horrible tragedy. And in the face of that horrible tragedy, she made the wrong decision. A decision that does carry some punishment with it, but not a very serious one. I mean, and if you think she didn't do it on purpose, if you think she didn't murder her baby, if you think she didn't leave a live baby out in the cold of Fort Tabor in November, if you think she didn't do any of those things, you don't want to see her go to jail for 6 months. You don't want to see her separated from her 2-year-old daughter for 6 months. Or pay a $500 fine that probably would be a financial hardship considering she had to walk a mile and a half in the November weather to Fort Tabor from her apartment. It just seems like a tragic situation with a bad decision tied into it. But at least we have some closure now on the situation and we know what happened. And then you can, you know, make your moral judgments based on how she could have handled it better, but moral judgments don't carry a criminal penalty. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Okay, about that story?
Mm-hmm.
That's a load of bull crap.
Well, why do you say that?
All right. Even if she didn't know she was pregnant, I mean, yeah, I've heard that if that happened,
mm-hmm.
probably one in a million. But I mean, even if you did not know you were pregnant and you're having the baby, you're not going to call 911. I need help. My baby's coming. I think I'm pregnant here. You're not going to call for help. Are you kidding me? That's a bullcrap story. I don't know if she killed your baby. Maybe she didn't. Maybe it was born dead. There's a story of why she didn't call for help. Take your baby that died or you killed it. You're going to go dump it somewhere. Come on. Do you believe that story?
Well, obviously the prosecutors did because they didn't push for anything harsher.
I mean, I'm going to try on my new dress today. Oh, look, I have a kind of a belly there. Something's going on. She didn't have a menstrual period for 9 months. That happens too, one in a million, not often.
I know plenty of women that have, especially because of all the hormones they put in food and all those kind of problems. I know plenty of women who have, you know, irregular periods and have issues with that. So it wouldn't necessarily be that big of a red flag for me if, you know. And the other part of this, too, is, you know, she came here from Honduras a few years ago. So she's from a different culture, a culture where they don't necessarily have to.
You have a live baby and you are a dead baby. You just go and throw it away.
Well, that's what they do in Honduras? No, but
they probably
give home births and they don't call anybody when they give birth. They don't need to call anybody.
Okay. You can go with that if you want to.
Well, I mean,
I don't go with that.
You're making inferences and assumptions about things that weren't proven in court.
Well,
so
this is what I think. Everybody has an opinion, right? We're going to call in and tell you what we think.
But I can then argue that and tell you that if the prosecutors felt that was the case, they would have pushed for more punishment.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, but the whole thing is too screwed up. You don't know you're pregnant. Then the baby is born dead. She couldn't call for help at 911. Or she just couldn't call the cop and tell the truth. Okay, I didn't know I was pregnant. I had this pain. Baby came. You know, I'm having a problem here. I need an ambulance. Come on now.
Well, you don't know the circumstances of her life. There might have been other reasons she wouldn't feel comfortable calling the police.
What I wonder, too, is how the medical system works on that. How did they find out she was the mother?
DNA profile.
What is it?
It was a DNA profile. So they must have had her DNA on record somehow.
Yeah, so I wonder what that's about.
Well, she is an immigrant, so.
So they take your blood when you come over here? All these illegals that came over the border, they took all their blood? Come on.
Well, she's a legal immigrant.
They went on buses, and they got on buses, and Kamala Harris had them shipped all over the cities and all over the country. There was no blood.
She's a legal immigrant, so she went through the legal immigration process.
Okay, one more thing about the waitresses. I never understood why they didn't get a normal pay for a normal job. And then you get taxed on what you make. And if somebody wants to give them a tip, that's a gift from the patron. They shouldn't tax your tips.
Mm-hmm.
Put your tips in your pocket, put them in your pocketbook, and go home. But I think they always should have had a regular pay. You don't like that?
I think what happened was there was probably, and I don't know this to be true, which was my assumption, is there was probably at some point in the timeline of all this where restaurant owners said, hey, look at how much money they're making when people give them tips. Why do we have to pay them a full salary like everybody else? And then, you know, at that point in time, that's when they started paying them less.
I don't agree with that. It's a job. They should get whatever the going rate is. I thought that was ridiculous. I mean, come on. It's a job. The owner of the restaurant doesn't want to pay waitresses or bellhops or whatever you call the guys. What do they call the guys?
A waiter?
Okay, that's good. I couldn't think of the word.
You went to bellhop, so I wasn't sure exactly which way you were going.
Hotel, I guess. I'm thinking of Jerry Lewis in that movie.
Yeah.
Bellhop. But I don't care if they're male or female either. They should get the same money for the same job. And I always felt that the waitresses ought to get a regular pay. And if I want to give them a tip, it's my business. It's a gift. How can they want to tax a gift that somebody gives somebody?
But okay, crazy. But let me ask you this then. If they're getting regular pay, then why do you feel the need then to give them a tip, but then you don't give somebody else a tip that's getting regular pay that you feel went above and beyond? Like, gee, that guy really did a great job of changing my oil. I'm going to give him a tip.
Okay, you do it.
Okay. Not everybody feels that way.
You're trying to say that you should automatically be. See, you're trying to order that tip now. You're ordering. You want a tip? That's stupid. You give a tip, it's a gift, and you give it if you want to give it.
Well, I'm just saying there's people who will tip, you know, servers in a restaurant, but they're not going to serve the person that made their coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. So what's the difference then? If you think everybody should get paid the same and then be able to get tips on top of that, how do you decide who is worthy of a tip and who isn't by virtue of their position?
The person who gives the tip just gives it if they want to. I think it's ridiculous that you go to a restaurant and the tip is included in it. No, that is ridiculous. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I don't want to have to give a tip if I don't want to. But if I want to, I will. That reminds me of when I do go through a drive-thru every now and then. I do not go through drive-thrus. But whenever I do, it's just for a coffee because I ain't eating that junk. But when I give the woman money, she hands me the cup and she's kind of pushing me like, have a nice day now, pushing me while she's giving me, like, you're leaving me, your change is what you're going to do, lady. And I don't think so. I was doing that for quite a while. And then one day I finally had the nerve to say something. I said, don't push my coffee at me and I'd like to have my change. So, okay. Yeah, if I want to give you a tip, I will give you a tip. Don't try to push me along. I don't like that. Now, what do you think of that?
I think that I give you great service every morning on the radio. You've never once tipped me. I'm kidding. I'm teasing.
Well, yeah. Okay.
I'm teasing. I got to hold you there anyway. I got to take a break.
Put some quarters. Okay. Have a good day.
Have a nice weekend. All right. Well, caller, hang on. We got another caller on hold. I don't know that I got to take a couple of breaks here. So let me see what I can do about making some time for you. But we'll be right back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. Say, this Sunday, the Patriots have a good shot at getting their second win, right? At least. Because the 1-5 Patriots are now across the pond, and they are getting ready to face the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are the host team, in London at Wembley Stadium. Patriots-Jaguars, battle of two 1-5 teams. Kickoff is at 9:30 with pregame on WBSM beginning at 6:30. The New England Patriots all season long right here on WBSM. And just a little bit of a programming note for you. So Sunday morning, you will hear Town Square Sunday at 6 a.m.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The YMCA is just a starting line for the true self blooms only when we find our purpose, what makes us tick below the surface. Y is the before work hustle, an after school home, a section of my block, a corner to call my own. With my Y, I stand strong, seen and supported all along. It's a million faces in a mirror and everyone belongs. Find your Y. Join today at YMCA.org. For a better us.
From the WBSM Flagship Insurance Studio, the talk continues right now on WBSM New Bedford. Flagship Insurance Agency leads the way with affordable and sound insurance solutions for your business. Go to flagshipins.com. 1420 and 99.5 WBSM, New Bedford's news talk station.
And we have about a minute here before we're going to go into the news. When we come back on the other side, more with you, 508-996-0500. You can use the app chat feature and the open line voicemail feature on the WBSM app, which is brought to you by our friends at South Coast Towing. And yesterday, after I went and spoke about ghosts in Worcester, I had a very interesting sandwich for dinner. There's a steak and cheese place right across the street from the park. It's actually right across from the infamous Turtle Boy statue. And so I went there and had dinner, and I got the most unique steak and cheese on the menu. And I might write a little article about it later on today just because it's so weird. Such an interesting idea.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.